Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In your bulletin, you have an outline of the sermon. If you take that out, that'll help you track. But the points I want to make from our text, and the text that we are going to use today is the gospel reading, and it's really cool that I can just turn around and look at it because it's carved up right above the altar. This is the text for the basis of the sermon. Come unto me, all that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So my wife Karen and I were talking about a trip that we took a few years back to New York City and how we would like to go back sometime. I'm not sure how you feel about the place, but I absolutely love it. I love the vibe of the city and the architecture and the theater and the subways and the fast pace and the different groups of people that live there. And I like going to my favorite restaurant on the entire face of the earth, and that is in Little Italy. And I don't want to start an argument with anybody, but I even love the people. Having been raised by a New Yorker, that is my mother, I feel right at home when I am there. And when I am there, I always make sure that I visit one place in particular, and that is what has been known as Ground Zero, or before 2001 was known as the World Trade Center. Now, I haven't been back there since the new memorials have been put in place, but the last time I was there, you could stand by the massive hole where those towers once stood, and there was a pictorial timeline that took you through the minutes of the morning of 9/11 and everything that happened. And as depressing and traumatic as it was to see all of that unfold on television, if you've been there, you know that it's an entirely different and eerie feeling when you are standing right there where it all happened. The first congregation that I served has a member. His name is Matt. And he didn't have to watch all of this unfold on TV because he was one block away working in his office when everything went down. And in this article that he wrote, Matt talks about a number of things that make me cringe, and thank God that I didn't have to be there myself to witness. But he said in one part of the article, "What I saw still does not register in my brain. There is no logical place for me to put this in my psyche. Even today, these events and images reside in a special corner of my brain because I cannot get it to fit anywhere else where normal and rational thoughts reside." That's the world that we live in, isn't it? Because of sin, we live in a world where people fly planes into buildings. We live in a world where people inflict horrible and terrible damage onto other people. We live in a world where even the weather can destroy. And what do you say to that world? What do you tell people that have had catastrophic events change their lives forever? Traumatic events that force them to put what has happened to them into a special place in their minds. What do you tell people who live with a daily mentality like we do in this country, the United States of America? If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. But deep down, we really know that we aren't as put together as we like to promote ourselves as being. What do you tell that world? You tell them this text. Because what the world needs now is not just love, but the one who brings it, the source of love and everything that follows him, and that is rest. It's the assurance that with as bad as things are in this life, there is a God who is in control, and he's in control to the point that he can offer us safety and sanctuary from the things of this world that threaten us. And when we take our stuff to him, he takes that onto himself and exchanges our junk with his peace, with his assurance, with his forgiveness, with his rest. And that's what it means to rest in Christ. We get relief from the burdens of our sins, and we get relief and rest from the burdens of living in a sinful world. And that's what you and I have been called to live in. And that's what you and I have been called to share with the world we live in. See, we are people who have been commissioned by God Almighty to take his promise to take the burdens of the people of the world on to himself and take that message out to the world that we live in. We're commissioned, if I can quote Frank Sinatra again, to start spreading the news that there is something way, way better out there than what we have been living in. So let's talk about that today. Let's go to your outline, your first blanks, and let's start with a run here. This text is an incredible invitation to a life of assurance, peace, love, and rest from the one who can and does make this possible. Christ is the Savior, and nobody else can offer or deliver what he can. That's so crucial for us to understand who we are dealing with and what we have when we are talking about Jesus Christ, because he is the one who speaks with authority and speaks with ability to make good on all of his promises. He is the Savior of the world, and that means we need to listen to him. His message is the one that holds more authority than the message of the world and of the culture. So your next blanks. It's one thing when we ignore the message of the cultural prophets about our apathy to cultural matters. It's a whole different level of importance when we ignore the saving advice from the Son of God about eternal life, because in him we have rest. St. Paul was so adamant about what rest in Christ means for us and our reality. He said, because of the work of Christ, we're called to a life of assurance, a life of certainty, that as we face the challenges of this life, we know that one day we get to live in the perfect rest of Christ. But the rest found in Christ is so powerful that it actually reaches its hand into this world and into our lives and changes everything that we face today. Changes everything so much so that Paul said, we never lose heart and we never despair. And when you have this problem of sin that we have and the burdens that come along with it, you have a problem. And if you don't have the release from that problem, then living in our sins and living with all those burdens, you will end up in that place of despair. And it is a terrible thing, is it not? We live in a culture that is racked and riddled with it. I love what Christian psychologist Dr. Beverly Yonke said about despair. She wrote this in an article of hers one time. It cripples hearts and souls. It calcifies the spirit. Despair dwarfs the pain of all other emotional dysfunction. I have come to believe that tempting the Christian to despair is among Satan's most satisfying and dastardly achievements. For if we dissect the reality of despair, we look clearly at what it means to live without hope, and life without hope is most clearly defined as life without God. And so it's for this very reason that we live in a world that is capable of despair that Christ is telling us, I have everything under control. I'm in charge. Don't worry about a thing. I got this. Don't lose heart. Don't despair. Live. And live boldly and go out and share this message of peace and rest with the world. So next blanks. The disciples knew that he, and I'm sorry about that typo, that should be capitalized. He was delivering the message of freedom, salvation, and rest. Knowing that they were sharing the truth of God gave them the power to be bold in spreading the news. And it's the same power we have as we go into the world. And God calls us to clearly share this good news with people. Maybe you saw this last Friday at the Houston Astros game. Astros fan Eddie Flores, he made a promise to all of the people who were sitting in his section of the ballpark. And he said, I told my section that if Astros player George Springer would hit a home run during this at bat, he said, I know he's going to do this. And when he does this, I'm going to buy this entire section a beer. So guess what happened? 3-2 count, and Springer hits a home run almost up to the section that Eddie was sitting in. And Springer bought 7 rows worth of beer. Cost him $300. But he was very happy to make good on his promise there. And everybody enjoyed this gift. In fact, one of the people who was a recipient of this gift said, not all superheroes wear capes. This guy is all right. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? Making a promise and then buying free beer for an entire section of the stadium. What if somebody made a promise to the entire world that they would buy them a gift that was so awesome that it took all of the problems of the world away. Stripped all of the troubles of the world of their power and their hold on us. Bought us a gift that is so effective and so powerful that we can live in its effects every single day of our lives. See, you and I may be able to buy beers for a section of the ballpark, but we can't give that kind of gift to anyone. In fact, we can't even give that kind of gift to ourselves. It's that powerful. But here's the great news. We don't have to. The one who can and did buy this eternity-changing gift is offering that to us today, and he wants us to offer this to the rest of the world. And it's great news for the world. You know what it is? Next blanks. Nobody's ever been saved by their actions. We are only saved by faith in the one true Savior of the world. God calls us to clearly share this with the world. And that is the truth that will bring the world rest. Christ came to bring us rest from our sins, from despair, from worry, from doubt, from the enemy. He says, live in that. Live in that and share that. Be so well-versed in my truth that you can take that out to the world so that they can know and live in what you know and live in. So your next blanks, God wants us to tell others that he wants to spend eternity with all of us. He wants us to share with them that he took care of everything we need for eternal life when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. Share with them that Jesus willingly went to the cross to pay for our sins, not because he was obligated to, not because of some debt he owed, not because he had to. He did all of this because he loves you. We have been changed and blessed with a life-changing gift. Let's tell the rest of the world how blessed we are. Peace, love, forgiveness, assurance, rest in the Savior of the world. Those are some pretty cool things to live in, aren't they? And those are some pretty cool things that we get to share with the world we come in contact with. On that trip to New York City that I mentioned earlier, when my wife and I knew that we were going, I immediately got online and applied for tickets to The Late Show with David Letterman, which was still on the air at that time. He's one of my favorite entertainers, despite his personal foibles and whatnot, and I've always wanted to go to one of the tapings of his show to see him in action. And so I applied for those tickets, and we waited, and we waited, and waited, and waited some more, and applied again, and waited, nothing. And so we took off on our trip. And I was kind of bummed that this wasn't going to happen. So we flew into Philadelphia and saw some friends and then took the train up to New York City. We had been off of the train in New York City no more than 20 minutes when a guy who works for the show approached us and asked us if we wanted tickets to the taping of that night's show. I thought this was a total New York City scam and just a hoax until we actually got to the theater and found out it was real. And so as we checked in for the show, the ushers were there separating the audience into different sections with instructions on what time to return back to the theater for the taping. At that time, Letterman used to tape multiple shows in the course of a day. So the ushers pulled Karen, my wife, and me, and a few others aside and told us to come back a little bit earlier from the rest of the group because they had something really cool in store for us. And when we returned, we were told that for that night's show, Dave was coming out into the audience for one of his bits. And because of their words, not ours, because of our big smiles and enthusiastic personalities, we had been chosen to sit in one of the aisles that appears on camera the most when Dave is out doing this bit. And if you happen to see that show, we got a whole lot of screen time. And you could see how stupidly happy I was, because I was grinning like an idiot from ear to ear about all of this. There's a reason for that. I mean, I'm sitting here in the Ed Sullivan Theater, all right? The Beatles did their thing right there on that stage. That's where it all happened. So many other great acts appeared just feet in front of me on that stage. But here I was for a taping of a show of one of my favorite entertainers of all time, and I had been chosen by his staff to sit in a special place of honor in that theater. What a privilege that was. So after the show, and we spent the next couple of days in New York City walking around, and I started to digest what had happened. And it occurred to me that I had been chosen for something else before the world was even the world. And it was far more significant than a TV show. Because a long time ago, before the world was even a thing, I was chosen to be a child of God Almighty. You want to talk about privilege and honor? You want to talk about something special? I can't comprehend. That requires a special part of my brain to put that reality into. There it is. But that is the truth and reality of what God has done for me, what God has done for you, and what God wants to do for the entire world. And that means everything is different now. Because with God Almighty on our side, what could we possibly have to be discouraged about? What can threaten us? What can defeat us? What can take our rest away? That's what we have been given. How can I not be bold in living in this and not be bold in telling the rest of the world what I have in Jesus the Christ? And so your next blanks, that's what we're celebrating this weekend as we celebrate the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Since 1942, they have been spreading the news to the world about the saving work of Jesus Christ, and they have been instrumental in making sure that he is taken around the world so that others might hear the truth about Jesus and be saved. We have been given everything God has to offer. So my last part of this is a prayer. God bless us to believe in the Christ and then live in the rest that he has won for us and live lives that spread this news to the world. May it be so by the power of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please rise?